thanks to thee, O Christ victorious. Thanks to thee, O Lord of life. Death hath now no power o'er us. Thou hast conquered in the strife. Thanks because thou didst arise and hast opened paradise. None can fully sing the glory of the resurrection story. Thou hast died for my transgression, all my sins on thee were laid. Thou hast won for me salvation, on the cross my debt was paid. From the grave I shall arise, and shall meet thee in the skies. Death itself is transitory. I shall lift my head in glory. For the joy thine advent gave me, for thy holy precious word, for thy baptism which doth save me, for thy blessed communion board, for thy death a bitter scorn, for thy resurrection morn. Lord, I thank thee and extol thee, and in heaven I shall behold thee.
The congregation is invited to stand. We speak the opening versicles. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, as we reflect upon the part of the explanation of the second article of the Creed, from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, our readings teach these things and how these are our enemies and how God saves us and rescues us. And as we have done before, at times when the readings have a bold part, which is underlined, the congregation is welcome to read along on those parts. You don't have to, but you're welcome to. From Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 19. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life.
I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring.
He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it.
Cursed is the ground because of you.
In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread,
till you return to the ground.
For out of it you were taken, for you are dust,
and to dust you shall return.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
Resist him, firm in your faith,
knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And from Romans chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, for your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good, and innocent as to what is evil.
The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of Matthew chapter 16. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 23. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am?
Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ.
From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised.
And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.
But he turned and said to Peter,
"Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man."
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
The congregation may be seated for the catechism reading section. The first thing we will do is confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Then after that, we will confess our faith using the explanation of the second article of the Creed as it is written in the bulletin. We confess the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We also confess our faith using the words of the explanation of the second article of the Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, in order that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. I believe that Jesus is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God has plans for us as we go through life and have different responsibilities and have different opportunities because of the situation. During our 5 years in Ghana, we tried to stay in once the sun started setting. As soon as the sun started setting, the mosquitoes would come out, and with the mosquitoes would come malaria. And so we wanted to be inside, keep away from the mosquitoes as much as possible. We got the children fed and in bed quite early, and then we ourselves, we would have some time in the evening. And I ended up with the opportunity to read quite a bit of Luther and about biographies of Luther and his writings and so forth. It was during that time, during that extra study, that this teaching that's very clear in the small catechism and also in the large catechism of the three enemies and the three victories came to mind. I integrated it into the work there in Ghana, into my teachings ever since. And we see, and we're going to see it in the scriptures, that a shorthand way, while also becoming being comprehensive, is that Luther says, what has he redeemed me from? He's redeemed me from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. So how is Jesus my Lord? What does he save me from? What does he protect me from? Sin, death, and the power of the devil. And also then, in the catechism, in several places, you have the victories of Christ, the gifts of Christ that he gives to us. Sin, he gives forgiveness. Death, he gives life. The power of the devil, he gives salvation. He saves us from evil. And so, if nothing else tonight, remember, sin, death, the power of the devil, Christ gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation. And with that shorthand, that says much about our whole Christian faith and about Christ being our Lord. And as I said, it appears not only here in the small catechism, but under baptism, under the Lord's Supper, all these places, Luther said, look what Jesus saves us from. So I picked out several passages that we just read from Scripture, and you could look at others too, but these are passages that are well known and help us think about this and teach us about these enemies and these victories. In that first temptation of Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. They rebelled against him. And God told them in advance, if you eat of that tree, that day you will die. So the sin is there, and God warned them the death would come, which it did. And then in the whole narrative of Genesis 3, what's going on? The devil heard that warning against them too, and the devil did not want them to remain in communion and holiness and the wonderful relationship they had with God, being completely open and free with him. And so he led Eve and Adam to think differently about God's commands, to think differently about the eating of that fruit. It wouldn't be bad, it was good. So right away in Genesis chapter 3, you have sin and death and the devil. When they sinned, this passage in Genesis 3:15 is just completely full of God's concern and care and grace for Adam and Eve and all their descendants, for us. Because God ensured when he put this curse on the devil, he made sure that the devil knew, and Adam and Eve knew in hearing it, that they weren't for the devil, and the devil wasn't for them. He says, I will put enmity between you and woman. That's striving, that's fighting, that's warfare. I will put enmity between you, devil, and the woman, between her offspring and your offspring. They're not for you. You're their enemy. You're not their ally. You're their enemy. And that's the way God shook it out. Okay, now this, we have sin and death, but it doesn't matter. You're their enemy. You're not their friend. That's one of the great temptations the devil gives to the world and to us. I'm your friend. No. Enemy. And then God also promises that, and there will be a male born of her descendants who will crush your head. You are not going to win. You're going to lose. You're the enemy, and you're going to lose. I didn't have you speak, the congregation speak, all the words of the results of sin. Of course, there was pain and childbirth that he said to Eve. And part of what he said to Adam explains this pain that we have, this struggle that we have in daily life. When God said, cursed is the ground because of you, now we're going to have to struggle and strive. It was supposed to bring forth nutrition and health and protection for them, but now other things, hardships would rise from the earth. And did you notice it says, in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. That pain was built into this result of sin. So when we bear pain and we have struggle and striving, it reminds us who know God's word, this is the result of sin. It wasn't God's original design. This is the result of sin. And this is sin in my life when this happens. Towards the end of what he said to Adam, God says, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So this is also the result of sin, this death. But a couple things to note here. First of all, it says your body will return to the ground. Our body corrupts, returns to the grave, returns to the waters, whatever our situation is, where we die. But he doesn't say your soul ceased to exist. He doesn't say you cease to exist. He says your body, which was taken from the dust, will return. But your soul goes on. And he doesn't say that your body will remain dust forever. He doesn't say that. And so built into the results of sin, built into the judgment upon human beings, is not that God says, now you are lost forever. Now the devil is your ally, your friend, and now I'm not going to help you, and now you are destroyed, and you will never survive and exist again. He didn't say that. He says the devil is at enmity between Adam and Eve and all their descendants, and his head will be crushed. Now you're going to have pain and suffering, and you will return to the earth. Your bodies will return to the earth. But there's a promise, there's a hint there that there will be life, that there still is life with God. As I thought through passages, to think about, this passage from Peter, of course, is so strong a picture that I thought we have to think about this one. Your devil, the adversary, is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour. I think as Christians who know that, whenever we might get a chance to see a roaring lion at the zoo or something like that, we think about that. And of course, even in Israel at the day, Peter's day, when he wrote this, there were lions in Israel. There were different wild predators, and there were lions actually there. So he says this, and he says this to Christians. Remember, Peter is writing Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ. And he says to them, now, you have an adversary. You have the devil, and he is seeking to take you down. He reminds us. It's not just the devil's out there in society, which he is, but he's seeking to take down Christians. And he's still loose, and he wants to. Just as the devil lied to Adam and Eve to break their relationship with God, so he lies to us to try to get us to sin and lose faith in God. Now, Peter says in verse 9, resist him. The devil can be resisted by Christians. He says, stay firm in your faith. So though the devil is going against us, he can be resisted. Now, as Peter says, you can resist him, stay firm in your faith, he doesn't say this is going to be easy, and he doesn't say, now, your life is going to be victorious and you'll never have a problem again on earth. He doesn't say that, does he? What he says there is, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. They're suffering for Christians as we resist Satan. And this goes back to what God also said to Adam. It isn't, in pain you will eat your bread. There's suffering and striving in this life, but evil and the devil can be resisted. So there is victory, as Peter says, that God gives us in Christ. Verse 10, and after you have suffered a little while, what is a little while? Our life on earth. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So we suffer, we resist evil for a little while, this life, however many years God gives us. But Paul says, Peter says, but you have victory in Christ, and your eternal calling is to be in heaven. The very brief two verses from Romans 16 is very clear in verse 20 there, isn't it? The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Crush Satan under your feet. That is the parallel language, the exact language that God spoke to the devil with Adam and Eve hearing. And he, that descendant of Eve, will crush your head, which Christ did with his death and resurrection. But here Paul even says, but God will crush Satan under your feet too. And this matches up with what Peter said. You can resist him. And Paul says, he's crushed under your feet too. Now, how can Paul say that? Well, if we look back, and I didn't put all the readings in here, but I note Romans chapter 6. If you look that up on your own time, what does Paul say in Romans chapter 6? Don't forget that whoever is baptized into Christ is baptized into his death. And being baptized into his death, we're also baptized into his resurrection. In his death and resurrection, we are baptized. And when we're baptized into that of Christ, we're baptized into his victory. And so you will even hear the next song, 666. I'll talk about that in a moment. The next hymn talks about the victory and thanksgiving to God in baptism and the Lord's Supper. Because forgiveness, life, and salvation, God's victories are there for us. So, as Christ said, it is finished, and crushes Satan's head, so also that victory is given to us. Finally, if we're thinking about these enemies, sin, death, and the power of the devil, how can we not think about what happened to Peter? Makes this great confession of Jesus Christ, of which Jesus wanted them to know above everything else. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, Peter, this is fantastic, for nothing on earth has taught you this, but this has been revealed by my Father in heaven to you. This is what you need to know. For if we confess that Jesus is the Christ, then we confess that he is the seed that was promised to Adam and Eve. He's the chosen one. He's the one who would crush Satan's death, head, and all the other promises throughout the Old Testament. He's the one. He's the anointed one. He's the chosen one. That's the one. And for us to confess that and to be baptized into his name brings his victory to us. Why did he not want to them to speak about him? He strictly charged them to tell no one that he was the Christ. Well, they weren't ready to know what the Christ really was about, wasn't it? Because as soon as Jesus tells him the mission of Christ, how we know now he would gain that victory over by suffering death and resurrection, he starts to tell them that, and then what does Peter say? No, let that never happen to you, Lord. No, that's the devil. Because God's plan was to bring victory over sin, death, and the devil through Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. And so if Jesus would be turned away from that, he would be turned away from all of God's promises and plans. So though Peter confessed that great confession of Jesus, he still was mixed up and not thoroughly known, not taught by the Holy Spirit yet. But this is what the Christ must do. Suffer, die, and rise again. And there is forgiveness, life, and salvation. With this confession, Jesus says, when you believe that I am the Christ, then the gates of hell cannot prevail. And the church, and it's a very curious word there, because you never hear, we translate it in most English translations, church, which is fine. And then we think of church, and we think of building, and we think maybe the and that's fine, it's true, but the root word here is assembly. The assembly of believers. The assembly of believers can never be overthrown when they confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we use the English word assembly of believers to describe church, which is fine, but it's the believers that cannot be overthrown. So even though, for instance, during the time of Stalin, when the churches were being ripped down and persecutions were going left and right and German Lutherans were being sent off to Siberia, who survived in that case? Who first survived longest? The Lutherans in Siberia were still there at the fall of the Soviet Union. The church prevails. Not that they didn't suffer, they suffered much. But the church prevails. Even the small catechism prevailed. So Christ's victory is sure and certain. But human ideas sometimes think, but the victory should look like this, and the victory should look like this. Losing focus on the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus, which is the victory, which is in what we are baptized, which is in what saves us. So God keeps our focus on what His Son has done, what He promised to do in His Son, what that lasts through all our lives. It's very important for us to hear these words from Jesus, to hear what our Father wants us to know, that He is, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Christ who would suffer, die, and rise again. And any human words that would distract us from knowing that, then that's not what we should be listening to. We should hear what we are. Jesus is our Lord, how He saves us, what He saves us from. Sin, death, and the power of the devil by His forgiveness, life, and salvation. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank You so much for keeping Your promise to our first parents, Adam and Eve, and to all generations following, that You would send a victor to crush Satan's head, to give life, to give forgiveness. Keep our faith in Jesus Christ sure and certain. Keep our confession and faith and teaching sure and certain and focused on Your Son, Jesus. For in Him and in what He has done, there we find true life and union with You. Give us Your Holy Spirit that our faith may not waver. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, the sermon hymn you'll see is number 666, which was the evil number of Revelation and so forth, as we kind of studied that in the Bible class when we covered that. So the hymn writers specifically matched up that number, the hymnal committee, I should say, matched up that number, 666, which is a very clear hymn that we do not have to fear evil and the foes and sins because Christ is victorious. And so, yes, it's a number of evil in Revelation, but Christ has overcome evil. We sing him, O little flock, fear not the foe.
little flock, fear not the foe, who madly seeks your overthrow. Dread not his rage and power.
And though your courage sometimes fades, his seeming triumph for God's sakes lasts but a little while. Be of good cheer.
Is invited for to stand for prayer. We speak together the evening prayer.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son,
that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong,
and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things.
Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray the collect of the week.
Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. And we pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn, 880.
From peril guard your